I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings, friends, and thank you for tuning in today. Welcome to our new listeners in the Asheville and Richmond areas, where we have recently added new stations and also one in Lima, Ohio. We are happy to have you join us today. I'm John Lawrence, the Director of Ministries here at IBJM. Today I wanted to talk with you about our Everlasting Nation magazine, which comes out every 2 months. Our most recent issue was focused on Messiah in the Passover, one of the spring Jewish feasts. Several of our missionaries who are Jewish believers have contributed articles. There's one called The Seder, A Picture of Redemption, that was written by Howard Rothenberg, who serves with us in South Florida. Mark Oshman has contributed an article on the four cups of the Passover. There are always ministry articles as well in our magazine. Then there is always a section in the magazine for the most current news from Israel and the Middle East. You'll not want to miss that. Keep you up to date on what's going on over there. There's a lot going on over there these days. One issue last year was all about all the wonders of Israel. That issue contained articles on archaeology in Israel, also on the great technology inventions that come out of Israel, and then another on the rebirth of the Hebrew language. And you know, Hebrew was perhaps the only extinct language that has ever been so fully revived as a modern spoken language for a modern country. God is at work in Israel, and he is overseeing what's going on there. Prophecies are in process of being fulfilled. Then another article in that issue considers the future of Israel. That's an interesting question. What does God have in store for this land and this people? He's not finished with them yet. Another article explores how to reach Jewish people with the gospel in Israel. That's a challenge, but also it explores other sometimes forgotten Jewish mission fields. There are great Jewish mission fields in other places that are often not thought of as such. We also have a special issue of the magazine that will introduce you to IBJM as a ministry and also as a mission board. What do we do and how do we go about doing it? That's a good question for churches to ask. And this issue, this special number, will share with you some of the things that we are about. It answers those questions for you. You can contact us if you would like to have a copy of the magazine to review, and we will also send you a complimentary subscription for 3 issues, and then you can decide if you would like to become a paid subscriber. The magazine is edited by our senior staff here, who are experienced missionaries, and articles are also contributed by many of our active missionaries who are serving in the heart of the Jewish community in 15 countries around the world to reach them with the message of the Messiah, that is Jesus Christ, who has come to them with an offer of personal salvation to all, including his chosen people. In order for you to obtain the trial subscription, and that's without any cost to you, you may contact Glenda McGuirt here at area code 423-876-8150 and just tell her that you would like to order that free complimentary subscription to our Everlasting Nation magazine. Some older issues are available too, including the ones I've mentioned on this program, so you can also ask for those if you'd like. And then you can also visit our website at ibjm.org. Thank you for listening today. We hope you will decide to try a subscription to the magazine that will challenge your heart for Jewish missions and provide you much information that will be useful in praying for our Jewish friends, as the Apostle Paul said, that they might be saved. Now let's listen to the Bible study today with Jewish believer Brother Mark Oshman.
Welcome back to our radio Bible program. In our last session, we studied the life of Solomon as an example about how the effects of strongholds can tear down a person. In this broadcast, we will conclude our series by presenting 5 steps through which individuals can eliminate strongholds in their lives. This material has its basis in the book, Pulling Down of Strongholds, written by Dr. R.B. Ouellette. The first and most important step that a person can take to tear down strongholds involves receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Apart from God's supernatural assistance, people are helpless against breaking down the strongholds that affect their behavior. Such strongholds can act as chains, binding individuals to the sinful habits that characterize their old natures. Jesus Christ has the power to break these restraints. As he told the Jewish audience in John chapter 8, quote, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed," unquote. Can Jesus Christ actually do this? Of course he can. As God incarnate, he can do anything. In the 10th chapter of Acts, Peter attested to that when he told Cornelius and his household about, quote, "how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." How can Jesus Christ tear down a stronghold in a person's life? The Apostle Paul devoted a large portion of Romans chapter 6 toward explaining this matter. In short, he wrote, Christians do not have to yield to the impulses of their sin natures. In Romans chapter 6, Paul exhorted the Roman believers, quote, "Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord," unquote. He went on to enjoin them, quote, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God," unquote. The apostle concluded by reminding his readers that, quote, "sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace," unquote. Thus, receiving Jesus Christ as Savior is a necessary first step to breaking down strongholds in your life. The second step towards breaking down such strongholds entails embracing the truth. We need to recognize that lying comes from the devil. Jesus Christ referred to the devil as a liar and as the father of lies. Contrast this to Jesus Christ. According to John chapter 14, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, a truth, and a life, as an alternative, but the way, the truth, and the life. Thus, Jesus Christ can guide anyone who wants to embrace the truth and guide them along the paths of righteousness. One of God's main attributes is truth. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses declared God as, quote, "a God of truth and without iniquity," unquote. The author of Psalm 31 wrote about God as, quote, "Lord God of truth," unquote. Those who seek to embrace the truth must first acknowledge God's existence. Then they must place their trust in him as the source of truth. Jesus Christ spoke to a group of Jews who had believed on him in John chapter 8. He told them, quote, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," unquote. He thereby invited them to put aside those misapprehensions which had caused them to stray from the truth, and to place their trust in him as the source of truth. In the second epistle of John, the apostle informed the elect lady that, quote, "no lie is of the truth." Acceptance of lies will enslave a person. Acceptance of the truth will liberate him. Therefore, a second step towards the breaking down of strongholds involves embracing the truth and rejecting lies. Step number 3 towards breaking down strongholds requires a person to control his thoughts. As Solomon put it in the 4th chapter of Proverbs, quote, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life," unquote. Solomon wrote a number of proverbs that dealt with the exercise of this discipline of controlling thoughts. "Those who entertain evil mental images will reap corruption through the physical acting out of those thoughts." Quote, "the thoughts of the foolish are an abomination unto the Lord," unquote. Quote, "the thought of foolishness is sin," unquote. Both verses from the book of Proverbs. On the other hand, though, Solomon commended those who subjected their thought processes to God's control. Again, from the book of Proverbs, he wrote that, quote, "the thoughts of the righteous are right," unquote. And, quote, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, unquote. In Proverbs chapter 16, Solomon added these words, quote, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established, unquote. God will empower those who turn to him, and part of that empowerment will be his enablement for them to control their thought lives. Jesus Christ stressed the need for people to control their thoughts. According to Matthew chapter 15, he told his disciples that, quote, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, unquote. He added that those were the things that defiled a man. Paul knew where undisciplined thinking could lead people. In the first chapter of Romans, he wrote about a generation that willingly departed from retaining the knowledge of God. He described them in this fashion. They, quote, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, unquote. In 2 Corinthians 10, Paul followed up on that thought by exhorting the Corinthian believers they needed to, quote, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, unquote. Thus, a third step in breaking down strongholds in your life involves controlling your thoughts. Step number four towards tearing down strongholds involve moderating emotions. Emotions, if they're allowed to run rampant, emotions can result in a person's acting disorderly. Note the implications of this statement, found among the maxims contained in Proverbs chapter 29. Quote, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest, unquote. This is not to say that the expressions of emotions doesn't have its appropriate place. Take laughter, for instance. The author of Ecclesiastes wrote about the existence of a time to laugh, but he also noted that there was a time to weep. Some examples of laughter in the Old Testament. Sarah laughed with joy at the birth of Isaac, according to Genesis chapter 21. God also partakes of laughter. In Psalm 2, he laughs at the efforts of his enemies on earth to try to overthrow him and his king. In Psalm 52, the writer remarked that the righteous will laugh once God destroys the wicked. But there are occasions when laughter is inappropriate. The author of Ecclesiastes remarked that sorrow was better than laughter. According to Luke chapter 6, Jesus Christ told an audience, quote, woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep, unquote. In his epistle, James advised his readers to, quote, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness, unquote. Anger is another emotion that has its proper sphere. God often expresses his anger at those who sin. Since God deserves total and unquestioned obedience, he retains the right to manifest his wrath against those who transgress against him. However, God tempers his wrath with his mercy. As the prophet Micah put it, quote, he retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy, unquote. However, when people give way to anger, evil consequences usually ensue. Christians can rein in their emotions by yielding to the indwelling Holy Spirit. Thus, a fourth step for a believer to overthrow strongholds involves not giving way to the emotions. A final step that a Christian should take toward tearing down strongholds results from replacing destructive behavior patterns with constructive behavior patterns. Romans chapter 6, Paul told his readers, quote, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, unquote. God created Christians unto good works. Thus, they should walk uprightly, in accordance with the new natures that God's given them. Thus, another step that people can take to overthrow strongholds involves replacing destructive behavior with constructive behavior. Christians need not put up with strongholds in their lives. Their bodies belong to the Holy Spirit. Thus, God can and will help them. As Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, quote, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, unquote. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. We invite you to return for future radio programs.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.